From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Bloch.
And I'm Michelle Norris. In San Francisco today, Apple fans rejoiced. Apple CEO Steve Jobs announced the next generation iPhone before a gathering of over 5,000 software developers. The new version, due in stores July 11th, runs on the so-called 3G network, that's short for third generation. The 2.0 iPhone costs less than its predecessor, and it's got several fancy new features. Omar Gayaga covers technology culture for the Austin American Statesman. He says most importantly, the new version improves the snail-like web access that many considered the iPhone's biggest flaw.
Well, the name of the game for the iPhone 3G is speed. Steve Jobs says the phone will be 2.8 times faster than what we're used to seeing on the iPhone's Edge network, which runs on AT&T.
Now, for civilians, what does that mean? How fast is that?
Well, the Edge network, you would think would be kind of like fast dial-up, and the 3G is going to be closer to Wi-Fi speeds.
Why did Apple have to do this?
Well, one of the biggest complaints about the iPhone was the Edge network, was that AT&T's network for data was just not fast enough for the things that the iPhone could do, things like sending photos, doing any kind of video on the iPhone. It just wasn't fast enough unless you were in a Wi-Fi zone.
Now, we mentioned that there's also a price drop. How much of a price drop?
Yes, that's actually the other big news, is that when the original iPhone was introduced, it was two models, a $499 and a $599 version. Now the iPhone 3G will be priced at $199 and $299, so that's a huge, huge price difference than when it was first rolled out just a year ago.
Other new features?
Apart from the speed, it will have GPS built in. Previously, the iPhone used triangulation and cell phone towers to kind of sort of figure out where you were. It wasn't completely accurate. Now it will have an actual GPS chip enabled that will be able to track using Google Maps. And the iPhone will be thinner, and Steve Jobs swears it will sound better than the previous iPhone.
Now, Apple, I imagine, is trying to stay a step ahead of the competitors that are rolling out their own smartphones. Are they actually nipping at the heels here? Are these other smartphones just as inventive and easy to use as the iPhone?
I don't think anyone's come out with something that has the software that's as elegant as the iPhone, just based on the reviews that I've read and products that I've tried. But there are some phones that have features that the iPhone doesn't. The Nokia N95, which is becoming a very popular smartphone among the technorati, that has, you can do live streaming video on it. Some people prefer a phone that has a full keyboard on it, and that's something that a lot of people just can't get over with the iPhone. They can't quite master the iPhone touchscreen keyboard. So, yeah, there are some other phones that are nipping on their heels, and BlackBerry is doing very, very well. So, yeah, definitely Apple really has to work hard to stay ahead of the pack. There's a lot of smartphones that are happy to take its place at half the price.
So, new announcement today from Steve Jobs. Are we expecting any other cell phone announcements? They all seem to come in clusters.
I would imagine that we'll start seeing more stuff from Research in Motion with BlackBerry, that Nokia definitely will not be resting on its laurels. And the big one that everybody's waiting for is for Google's Android platform to start hitting stores. The latter half of this year, we should start seeing the first phones based on Google's application platform. And that could be a really huge competitor to the iPhone. We just don't know. We haven't seen any actual handsets yet in the marketplace. So latter half of this year is going to be very competitive in the cell phone market.
The Android platform, that sounds like a horror movie almost.
The Androids are taking over, and they'll be fighting the Apple robots.
Omar, always good to talk to you.
Thank you, Michelle.
That was Omar Gayaga. He covers technology for the Austin American Statesman. He talks to us about the same from time to time. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brown.
I'm Alex Chadwick. You may not have heard about Henry Nicholas if federal prosecutors had just charged the Broadcom founder with securities fraud. We're used to stories of financial falderal by now.
No, it wasn't until we learned the indictment also included drugging business associates, hiring prostitutes, and running a cocaine warehouse that the former CEO made headlines. Nicholas's defense attorney says he is innocent on all counts, and joining us now is Mark Marimont at the Wall Street Journal. He's been covering this story. And Mark, he's charged with corporate crimes as well as these more salacious allegations?
Oh, yes. He's perhaps the most prominent of about two dozen executives across the country to face criminal charges in a broader investigation into illegal backdating of stock options.
Now, this illegal backdating of stock options, this isn't a new accusation. And in fact, the company paid a fine, right?
Yes. So the company has already admitted that its executives had backdated stock options. to make them more valuable for employees, and it took extra charges of $2.2 billion last year. It's one of the biggest financial restatements in the wider backdating scandal.
Now, let's talk a little bit about Broadcom. This was an internet darling back in the 90s. It's a huge company, right?
Very large, very successful. Mr. Nicholas was one of the co-founders, and in the late 90s, early 2000, when the stock market was going wild, was worth many, many billions of dollars.
Billions?
He's still a billionaire a couple times over.
And this company, from what I understand, makes chips that go into things like iPods?
Yes, a very successful maker of specialized computer chips.
Okay, so now let's get to the salacious allegations. What is he being charged with?
Essentially, the prosecutors have painted a picture of a billionaire technology executive out of control, buying and intending to distribute and distributing cocaine, ecstasy, methamphetamine. There's an allegation in here that he supposedly used ecstasy to spike the drinks of technology executives and Broadcom customers. And in one incident cited in the indictment, he supposedly did just that to a quote, technology executive in New Orleans in the year 2000. They don't name the technology executive. There's another charge in there that I hadn't heard before about a private plane flight from Orange County to Las Vegas in 2001, where the marijuana smoke was so thick that the pilot had to strap on his oxygen mask. So obviously things were a little bit out of control
with
federal prosecutors,
yeah.
It'd be believed.
So trafficking in drugs, he was actually a drug dealer is what they're alleging?
The allegation is that he was distributing these drugs. I don't think that there's a serious charge that he was, you know, selling it, but rather that he was distributing it to others, buying it for himself and distributing it at parties and that sort of thing. So there was one allegation that he was keeping an underground grotto at his home in Orange County, California, and a similar kind of party venue at a nearby warehouse space that he rented. And one of the allegations is that at a Super Bowl party in 2001, he caused 225-odd tablets of ecstasy to be distributed. It must have been some party.
Yeah. So how could he have gotten away with this crazy high-flying lifestyle, if indeed these charges are true, for so long? I mean, this is 10 years or more.
Yeah, well, he was supposedly started around 1999 when the company's stock was riding high, but he was a very hard-driving guy, but he was also known for being kind of a party animal, lavish lifestyle, expensive cars, calling company meetings at 4 in the morning. That sort of thing. It sort of, you know, was part of his persona.
Mark Mermont is senior editor with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Madeline.